I'm Richard Porter, and this is a Smith & Sniff clip show. Hello, it's Richard here. Happy New Year and all that. It's a slightly different Smith & Sniff this week because Johnny and I are still taking a short break. So to fill the void, I've pulled together some clips from our old YouTube videos. These are all excerpts from the times that we parked up and were having lunch because the audio is better without any background road noise. On the downside, because we're having lunch, there's sometimes the sound of us eating, which I know is slightly revolting, but hopefully doesn't spoil the whole thing. We'll be back to normal next week with a brand new episode, but in the meantime, please enjoy the sweepings from our factory floor, which is also how my dad told me that Wheater Flakes were made. I don't think that's actually true. Can I ask you a slightly controversial question?
Yes.
What's the point of Magnus Walker?
Gosh, well, he is like... Imagine a new age traveller who, instead of having an old library, mobile library, with a wood burner in the back...
Yeah, he accidentally owns most of downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, he's sort of ratchet-strapped 3 928s together.
Yeah. Oh, gee, you're like... Yeah, he's like a new age traveller that just happens to be really into Porsches. Yeah, the reason I ask is because met him?
No, I've never met him.
I've never met him. He seems like he's a really nice guy, and I know people who have that. He seems like a really, really nice bloke.
Yeah, we've got mutual friends who
but as far as I can work out, he is a clothing magnate turned property developer who occasionally slightly ruins old 911s and is somehow fated as a Porsche universe hero.
Yeah.
And I just go, he's a nice chap, but I don't get it.
Is it
sure he gets it, because, you know, he's always like, apparently people are always asking him to make Outlaw.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got an old 911. Could you put the wrong lights on it and some mismatched panels, please? And to his credit, he goes, no. I just make them every so often for my own amusement. Mm. And that...
So
hats
he created
off to him
his
that.
Own mystique?
Well, I wonder if he has, or if other people have done it for him and he's just a sort of reluctant passenger. But either way, I just don't get it. You know those key cupboards that, like, American valets have? He's just got them all in his hair and beard.
His Porsche keys his hat.
Oh, look, there's the...
his dreads.
There's the key for that new 928 that I just got.
So hang on, if he sneezes in the restaurant.
Oh, it jangles a lot.
No, it doesn't jangle a lot, it just fires keys across the...
No, they're really well secured because of the tangles in his
Oh, he wraps them
in
around
his hair and beard, yeah. I think that's what he does anyway. That's what
Magnus' beard key cupboard. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So, you know, I mean, I want to say, what's the point of him? He's a good key storage facility.
He's created it, yeah.
But, I just don't get why he's like a hero of the Porsche world.
No.
Because, you know, he's not Derek Bell.
Can you finish? Oh, yeah. Now, Derek, I've just come back from Goodwood.
Mm-hmm.
So while you were at two kids' parties on Saturday...
Well, that was one reason I didn't go to Goodwood.
I was getting suntanned and enjoying Derek Bell being introduced to everybody as 5-time winning Le Mans man, Derek Bell. And I think even his best friend, I think he's a lovely guy, I've met him before. I reckon his best friends still introduce him as that. No one ever calls him Derek Bell. They say, oh, do you want to meet 5-time or, oh, you know, in Starbucks when it's like, what's your name? And you write it on the cup. Can you write?
He always has to order a big coffee because there's not room otherwise.
Yeah, tall. What's the bigger one than tall?
5-time. Oh, Grande or Vente or something like that. Mm. 5-time. Le Mans winning. Champion. Derek.
Can I not just write Derek on
it? I'm just going to put Derek B. This time I've run out of room.
No. You're not putting just Derek B on there.
No, you have to put 5-time.
Le Mans.
Yeah.
Winning.
Do you... 5-time Le Mans winning champion Derek Belt. I now pronounce you wife and 5-time Le Mans winning champion Derek Bell husband.
A friend of mine who has a business in Chichester sold Derek Bell a mower.
It's true. Who's Derek Bell?
Oh, sorry. Strap that.
Who are you talking
about? A friend of mine in Chichester sold a mower to a guy called five times Le Mans winning Derek Bell.
Oh, five times Le Mans winning Derek Bell. I know that.
Why don't you say not so? Derek Bell.
Oh, I mean, I was a bit confused with it there.
I mean, why wouldn't you? What would you call Jackie Stewart?
Well, three-time Formula One world champion Jackie Stewart.
Would you not add anything else on?
No.
Always seems slightly put out, Jackie Stewart, despite being paid to turn up at the event.
No one will ever beat when a slightly peevish Max Mosley said that Jackie Stewart dresses like a 1920s musical. I had to kind of spat, and Max Mosley said, like, well, how can you take him seriously? I mean, look at him, he dresses like a 1920s musical.
Well, you know, to that end, can you imagine Jackie Stewart? Imagine Jackie Stewart, just because he's bored and he doesn't need the money, he just wanted a new project. He gets roped into doing an intense scheduled West End musical where he has to be artificially jolly all of the time.
I don't think he could do it. He's too intense.
Jaunty dancing and
stuff. No, he's too intense.
But how would he...
doing Guys and Dolls.
But he accidentally signed up for it and the contract...
I've got to speak to my agent.
The papers are already saying, can't believe it, this is going to be the most flamboyant, jolly experience. Starring.
I don't think this is really serious, and we shouldn't be doing this.
Jackie, we're in the middle of an actual show. Could you just do the fucking line?
Jazz hands. Have you ever heard Jackie Stewart laugh?
No. What about if Jackie Stewart did to front-wheel drive undesirable Fords what Magnus Walker is doing to Porsches? Because obviously Jackie's got a long relationship with Fords.
He's got an old Granada and put some mismatched panels on it.
He's got a Scorpio.
You see, I see Jackie Stewart as the opposite. He would restore it to immaculate perfection, factory spec throughout.
What about, there would need to be family tartan in it. It all looks totally standard.
I think that's just a cheeky little tag on the seat that's in the tartan.
Oh, really? That's subtle?
That, I will grant you, is non-standard.
They don't pop the bonnet and the engine, it's all been airbrushed in immaculate tartan. Like, just looks like someone's draped a cloth over the cam covers.
I think he would do that. But that's the thing, that's just for you
but
and
he would,
your mechanic.
He would say to Lord March or Duke March guy... He would say, I want to unveil my new project at the Festival of Speed to a fanfare. I'm keeping it a total secret. You've got to trust me on this. And obviously Charlie March is like, well, it's Jack.
Oh, my God, it's going to be. Is it some kind of supercar? The Stewart supercar we've all dreamt of for 30,
I'll reserve
40 years.
10 minutes out the front of the house at midday.
I've got some tartan fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to throw everything at this.
Yeah. Got a big drape that will fall down in front of the house.
Yeah.
Da-da, fanfare.
Yeah.
Maybe wheel out some of Jackie's previous winning cars in a fan arrangement. They'll all come in one by one down. And then what does Jackie do?
The piper comes out.
What does Jackie do?
Yeah.
Oh, so he marches out the front door.
There's a pipe. Those pipers. There's no. I'm thinking. There's that.
The drummers.
The drummer. Very, very crisp.
Yeah.
Crisp drumming.
Don't they put them up to their lips?
They might do. Yeah. I think it might be their faces that make the noise.
What does Jackie do? What happens next?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for right here. And for about half an hour or so.
People are going, the fanfare was brilliant. Going on a bit for Groove. Crying in a bucket.
At last. And then,
everyone's going like that.
And then, I don't know.
Does it drop? Is it
when
the curtains drop? It's in a cube, in a black curtain.
It's proper
cube.
David Blaine shit where you didn't know it was there and then.
You just do that and it.
And it's a Mark IV Escort. Diesel.
I've got a little story for you. And I saw it the other day when I was driving down the A1. Mm. I was behind a Vectra VXR. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
The car that I think infamously suddenly became £1,000 a year to tax. Very, very high power front wheel drive.
Yes.
quite understeery, I seem to remember.
Well, I had one on what became a really random, like, lads road trip weekend. I had one just as a press car for that week. A couple of my mates, we were like, let's go in the middle of nowhere in Wales. I had the car full of people, so three in the back, two in the front, weekend's worth of stuff in the boot. Mm. We'd booked a B&B that was lad friendly.
Mm. Did it say lad friendly B&B? I think a lot of them aren't they? Because they're often run by slightly passive aggressive ladies of a certain age. They don't want your shit on their doorstep.
Well, we drove there the scenic route from Stamford, Lincolnshire, across to Aberystwyth.
Oh yeah,
through the valleys, you know, the epic route.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started climbing some quite serious mountainous roads.
Yeah, I know around there a little bit.
We did it in the daytime when it was light. Anyway, we'd heard there was a weather warning. We got to started to get into the mountainous part of Wales, you know, where it's Powys.
Mm.
We climbed up to the top of where the jurisdiction changes between one part of Wales and another. And we know this because as we came over the top and everyone was like, whoa, let's stop, it started really heavily blizzarding.
Oh.
And the council gritter was coming up and it was too wide, really, for this part of the road. It's a very windy mountain road. Beautiful. We had to wait for the council gritter to get up to the top. And he stopped where we were, like in the lay-by. So we pull over and we're like, it's starting to properly snow. We're in a Vectra VXR.
Yeah, so
the gritter's
incredibly
out.
Powerful front-wheel drive, heavy load on board, maybe good for traction, but everything else is not in its favour. Mm-hmm. I'm going to surmise.
The gritter came up. Guy got out of the lorry.
Mm-hmm.
For a chat in the lay-by. And he's like, you going that way? We're like, yeah, we're going to Aberystwyth. He went, good
no,
luck.
Not.
And he's the gritter driver. So we're like, oh, great.
Like that old VW Beetle advert. Why does the man who drives the snowplough drive to get the snowplough? And why does the man who drives the gritter drive to get to the gritter?
Not a
Vauxhall VX. Vectra VXR. That would be a fucking stupid thing to do.
Well, so, I say, right, boys, we're going to do this. We'll be fine. We'll tiptoe the powerhouse down. And first of all, my mate, who was a little hungover from he'd gone out the previous night. He said, I really need a poo before we crack on. I'm like, we're on the top of a mountain. So he rifles around the car asking if anyone's got any tissues or serviettes.
Oh, my God.
Go to that.
Has a shit in a blizzard.
A poo in a field in a blizzard.
I mean, his need must have been immense for him to...
Oh, to have a field poo. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So he's gone and had a field poo. He had enough serviettes. We got back in the car. Heater's on. We were listening to some music and I forget what it was. We drive there. And we don't crash, but we slip all over the place.
Mm.
We park up outside our B&B, and as we're walking into town to start what became quite a big night in a small town, which are my favourite kinds of nights, actually, two things happened. One, as we were walking in, I found a Mark II Cavalier SRI 130 parked at the side of the road, and I hastily wrote on a friend's bit of envelope or something my name and my neighbour and name and my name and number, and about a month later the guy did phone me.
But you did what happened?
He actually said it is for sale, but I couldn't afford it at the time. It's a shame because I do wish I bought it, because it's a very rare car. While we were out, I was one of the guys that I brought with me was my cousin Adam. We were out in this pub and it was a real cross mix of people, some students, some older, like middle-aged, like ale-drinking blokes.
Yeah, sounds like
average. One of the students was wearing the most repulsive shell suit. It was sort of turquoise, yellow, full, proper, horrible shell suit.
Mm.
With a little irony, I'm sure.
Mm. Well,
mate Adam started chatting to him and going, this is amazing. Absolutely, he was a bit drunk, so he just kept saying it was amazing.
Mm.
He said, I'll buy it. Kids like it's not it's not for sale. I'm on a night out.
And also, it's like, my clothes. I'm in them.
And Adam was like, no, you'll sell it. What will you sell it for? And they was like, oh, well, I'm on a night out. You know, that's what I'm wearing. Anyway, 30 quid later. Because obviously he's a student, so 30 quid is the same as 300.
Yeah. I imagine he could have just told him where he got it from, which would have been like...
Well, my mate, my cousin Adam was like, I'm having it. So he went, he just took his wallet out, unfolded 30 quid. And I'm like, well, how is this going to work? You're on a night out. The kid's got... So the kid was like, well, I'll tell you what, 30 quid and you give me your T-shirt.
What about trousers?
He just had pants. He didn't care. He just had long box shorts on. So Adam gave him his T-shirt, took the shell suit.
Mm.
Adam was then just wearing a V-neck sweater, so he looked a little bit like what's the guy from Basic Instinct?
Michael Douglas.
He looked a bit like Michael Douglas from Basic Instinct.
Deep V with nothing underneath.
Deep V with nothing underneath.
It's an iconic but uncomfortable look.
It is a deep V with nothing. It's a little bit Simon Cowell, of which we're in the vicinity of Cowell.
Possibly.
Anyway,
yeah.
So yeah, at the end of the night, a lot of other things happened, some of which can't be said, really.
Mm.
But needless to say, he came back with a shell suit.
Yes.
No one died.
Yes.
Storm came in on the seafront.
Mm.
Woke up the next morning, very snowy and icy. That afternoon, we made our way back. Everyone was deeply hungover. I was concentrating very hard in the VXR.
Mm.
And my friend Adam, the one that bought the shell suit, had picked up an erotic novel from a charity shop because he'd been walking around that morning, just gone in a couple of charity shops. So he was in the back of this VXR just reading these... It's hilarious.
Like a fever dream.
Just... He was reading these extracts of erotic novels. One of my other friends who was in the car with me had the horn, so he kept telling him to stop because he was just having the horn. And then we all decided, look, we need to just find... a nice Sunday lunch box of Sunday.
Yeah.
We need to stop and have a lovely Sunday lunch. Everyone will reset and we'll carry on the journey in the VXR.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just looking on the map and we say, oh, there's a place. And this is the weird bit. And I still don't know where this pub is. We saw a pub coming up. We're like, oh, that looks really good. It said Sunday roast, really cool. And then it says Sunday roast, Sky Sports, Shark Tank. And we go,
right.
Well, we need a roast anyway, and it's open. And it looked nice.
Yeah.
We went in, and there's a shark tank next to the carvery. It's got two real sharks in it.
How big?
Well, the biggest one was not as wide as this car, not as long as this car is wide.
That's still quite big.
But like a sand shark. I mean, they're sharks, they're proper sharks. In a pub, in the middle of nowhere in Wales. We are talking in the middle of nowhere.
This still sounds like a dream.
All of this happened. I am telling you, all of this happened.
All because of Vectra VXR.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I told you about when it got awkward for me at a hand car wash with my Rover 75. It wasn't this place, another one.
This is not the place that towed it away.
No. No, I went to a car wash near where I used to live. And the bloke rushed outside, and then he tried to charge me what it was for a large car. And I went, this isn't a large car. And he went, yeah, it is, yeah, it's a large car. And I went, it's not, it's a medium-sized car. And he went, no, it's not. And I went, what would you call a medium-sized car? And he's like, oh, a 3 Series. And I went, exactly, it's the same size as a 3 Series. And he went, no, it's not. And I was like, it bloody is. And it got to the point where I was almost like getting my phone out to look up the dimensions.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah, maybe it was pre-smartphone. I can't remember. I was definitely getting up on my hind legs about it. And in the end, I think we agreed to compromise of like the sort of 50p to split the difference.
What?
It was the principle of it.
No.
I know about cars. I know the Rover 75. It's not a large car. It was small executive segment car at most.
I love that. And he went, what do you call a medium-sized car? The 3 Series.
Exactly. I mean, you know, even if he'd said Mondeo, I'd have gone, aha! I think you'll find that the Rover 75 is shorter than Mondeo. I wouldn't have said that with confidence, though, because I'm not sure that's true. I can't really remember. 75 wasn't a big car. I should have said to him, look at the rear leg room. It's compromised. It's not a roomy car, this. It's small, if anything. It's a small saloon for its sector. And what sector is that, my friend? The medium-sized sector. Anyway. I didn't go back there.
I've gone and got a fork for sushi. But I don't know if it's a fork event. It's not really, is it?
No, but...
Didn't need to, although I might need it for that.
Well, chopsticks would be more traditional.
Didn't see any chopsticks. That's
I didn't see any chopsticks.
You can use a pair of coffee stirrers.
Or a couple of biros.
You can use a couple of biros.
I wouldn't recommend it, but you could do that.
Yeah, there's a horrible story of a friend of mine when we were much younger with his dog. With a pair of biros. It was an awful story.
What?
It was an awful story.
I don't even going to press you.
No, well,
that.
What's weird is he became a drug addict.
Because of the dog and the biro?
No. No, he just went off the rails properly. Shame, because he was when I knew him, he was a nice kid. Even though he stole my watch later on at school and threw it in a river. It's true. But I knew he'd done it, so I called the police and he paid me £1 a week for about a year.
Why did he throw it in a river?
Because somebody knew that he'd done it, and because I immediately alerted people at my treasured... It was a...
Timex?
I think it was Seiko. I think it was Seiko back then. I might have saved it, or I was still at the stage where... Do you remember the really high-end... Casios, which had multiple displays and animations.
Mm.
I had one of those. It was like £50.
Fancy.
It was a lot for a Casio. I think it might
have. Have I told you about the Knight Rider watch that I had when I was a kid?
Get out. No.
Digital watch.
Yeah.
Looked like Michael Knight's watch.
Of course it did.
And the alarm went ding 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 ding
ding
ding ding ding ding. I was king of the school when I got that.
Bloody hell. Well, did it have an hourly chime? Do you remember an hourly chime?
Yeah,
was
it pipped on the hour if you wanted it to.
Yeah, I love an
hourly.
And
then if you set the alarm or if you press the two side buttons simultaneously, ding 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 ding, in a very tinny little digital watch way. Fantastic. One night, after I'd supposed to have gone to bed, I waited till my parents back downstairs and I put my light back on. I thought, I used to do this bit. They'll see the light, unless I had one of those, you know, like a desk lamp with a
angle poise.
No, not an angle poise, but just one of those desk lamps with a bendy neck.
I know.
Bent it right down so the bulb was right low over my bedside table.
Yeah.
So minimum light spill.
Hot bulb though.
It's just enough that I can read a car magazine for a bit longer because I didn't want to go to sleep.
Quite.
Unfortunately, yes, hot bulb. You can see where this is going. Hot bulb near Knight Rider watch.
Oh, no.
Fell asleep, face on car magazine.
No.
Woke up.
Had it melted?
Melted the top of the Knight Rider watch.
Oh, my gosh.
It still works, but a whole frontage, the perspex bit over the actual screen and all of the plastic moulding to look like the actual Knight Rider watch, ruined.
What do you do?
Well, that's it. And it was a birthday present, I think, bought from an advert in Lookin magazine. Replacement unavailable, even if my parents had been willing to fork out for another one, which they weren't because I'd been doing something I shouldn't have been doing, which is not going to bed, and I had ruined my watch. And that was it. And
bloody hell, that's a bad story.
Yeah, it was sad. But then, fast forward...
You didn't meet David
to
Hasselhoff.
A sad old twat. No, I did go to a Knight Rider convention once in America by accident.
Mm.
Well, I didn't mean to. I was my brother-in-law, ex-brother-in-law, said, "I'm thinking of going to a Knight Rider convention this afternoon." And I'd borrowed an Aston Martin Rapide. This is in Los Angeles, and I'd borrowed an Aston Martin Rapide. And he just basically wanted to go and show off to all his nerd mates at this convention, so we went over in the Aston. They were so nerd-wowed by it that I was allowed to go into the inner sanctum. It was in a hotel. It was like a sort of weird conference room, conference centre at a hotel in Burbank. I was allowed into the kit-only parking area, parked the Aston at the end of a row of kit replicas.
What?
It was a weird afternoon. They were selling replica Michael Knight watches, and they were only sort of like $15 or $20 or something, and I thought... I've got that in my pocket. I could buy one of those. But it didn't do the ding, 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 ding. And for me, that was a little
bit... You didn't buy it?
No. No, I didn't.
Even for $15?
I know, I kind of regret that I didn't, but it would have been a hollow buy without the music. So then, one day I looked up on eBay. I wonder if there's any of those old watches from the 80s going. No. But I saved it in my searches, and about only a few weeks ago, Bing search came up. One new item matches your search. Knight Rider watch. And there it was. And it was about 100 quid it was already up to. And I thought, well, now what price childhood memories or really completing and some unfinished business from my childhood? Do I really need a Knight Rider watch?
Those are the times when you need me to be round for a beer.
What, to give me dubious life advice?
Yeah, to just go, press buy it now.
No, there was no buy it now, it was bidding.
And it was north of 100 sheets.
Well, if memory serves, it eventually went for over £500.
Are you joking? Mm-hmm. So it's really rare?
Apparently so.
Shit.
So I won't be getting one of those.
So you and your stupid bedside light. Mm. You would have still had that, wouldn't you?
I'd be sitting on 500 quid worth of watch.
And never selling it. Unless someone was going to swap it for a genuine Michael Knight jacket. In which case you are in there.
Yeah, a jacket wouldn't play the theme tune, so I'm still kind of...
At this Knight Rider convention,
Please
tell me that Hasselhoff was actually there.
No. It was a bit of a second division Knight Rider convention, I think.
Second division? What else is there? Devon's going to be dead.
A row of replica kit.
Was there a truck?
No.
Oh, my God, Rich.
I can't remember what went on inside in the actual convention bit. I can't remember. There were...
Was the woman there?
No, I don't remember there being any celebrities there.
Well, how can you have a convention? There's nothing there.
Well, because they're meeting to talk about their shared love of the show, I guess.
Oh, there would have been like a second or third stuntman.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
There would have been like, yeah, I reversed the car out the lorry once.
We... Once? But I made a mess of it and didn't
Yeah, I was going to say, but I nearly died. I just didn't do it again. Didn't feel I wanted to.
I'm going to have a quick look, see if there's any Knight Rider watches on here now.
Can you? I've got a Dukes of Hazzard watch. New old stock? Yeah, 1980. It's still in the box and stuff. I took it out the wrapper and put a battery in it, and it didn't work.
See, look, these are the other Knight Rider watches that the people in America seem to want. These were the ones that sold in the US, and I don't think they played the tune, but they were a radio watch. Remember when that was a thing? You could plug headphones in and listen to the radio.
Hang on, it's 400
quid. That's 400 quid for a Knight Rider watch.
For just a cheapy little...
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like the equivalent without Knight Rider branding and stuff on it would be like a...
Well, I suppose that's like the equivalent of buying the really rare Star Wars figure with just a leatherette cloak. Yeah. And just the leatherette cloak, because it's a slightly different shade of maroon. It makes it worth 1,000 sheets. And I'm like, oh... If it was... I don't know, if it was Thunderbirds, I might be in there.
Where are we? No. No matches.
Do you want me, to bring my... Next time I see you, do you want me to bring my... Dukes of Hazzard watch? It's supposed to do the Dixie horn.
Oh, really?
But a problem is I put a new battery in and it didn't work. It never had a battery in it.
Oh.
And I think the board inside is damaged. I took it to a high-end jewellery shop, that guy I know, and he just looked at me and he went, do you want me to have a look at it? And I went, well, yeah, but let me know if it's all going to get silly. And he had it for about 3 days. He just phoned me up and I said, oh, is it good news? He went, no, I can't make it work at all. Oh, now, you know when people make replicas out of, from normal production cars of something more exotic?
What, like a Fiero that becomes a Ferrari 348?
I have this idea of, imagine if you could just revert, you could do reverse replicas, just as revenge.
So you buy an old Ferrari 360 and you very, very carefully turn it into a replica of a base model Pontiac Fiero. Toyota MR2.
Yes, and you go, oh, what? That looks just like a Toyota MR2. Ah, but it's not.
It's hello. Ferrari. I'm the world's most ironic man.
Yeah.
And I've spent an absolute frigging fortune making this Ferrari look like an MR2 for my own amusement.
Why not?
I was amused about it for about 3.5 minutes, and that's all I needed.
3 days ago, I had my annual dentist appointment.
Yes, I know, because I texted you.
Well, you did. I remember that.
And you were in a dilemma, I remember.
Okay.
Now, my dentist, and I don't know if it's the same for others, was listening to music while he was performing his duties.
Oh.
On my mouth.
Really?
Mm. And
good morning. Perform your duties on my mouth.
As soon as my chair went back, it was Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
Oh.
Now, I don't know whether he put it on or it was the radio, because I wasn't in there very long. But it made me wonder, what's the best song you could do dentistry to?
Oh, my God. Dentistry is an unwelcome...
You don't like it?
No, who does?
I quite like it.
What?
Yeah, I genuinely love
it. Is it because you've got good teeth, though?
My teeth are all right. I don't have issues.
This is like when you, you know, a car that's always been really faithful to you, and you just every year you go, MOT, not worried.
Yeah, just not throw worried. It in, job yeah. done, boom, go on, another service,
do your worst.
Do the oil, whatever.
No, I've had some bad experiences at the dentist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. One time I had to have a tooth... Well, I had to have a tooth pulled twice. And the second time was even worse than the first, which I didn't think would be possible. And at one point, I actually punched the dentist in the chest.
Did you?
Yeah. It wasn't mean to. It was like an instinctive reaction, where he was like, properly, like this, and it was fucking hurting. And he kept having to top up the anaesthetic because it took so long.
Oh.
And it got to the point where the anaesthetic...
Your eyes are watering just
thinking. I know, it's awful. I have flashbacks to it. And there was a point where he was like, sort of tugging on it. It was incredibly painful. And I was going, argh! And he was ignoring my screams. And I sort of like, argh! And punched him in the chest.
Sugar, okay.
He was only a little guy as well. I felt really bad. I had to apologise afterwards for A, for the punching, and B, because I think at one point I was swearing quite a lot.
What, with tubes in your mouth?
Yeah, there's a room for tubes. He's got some fucking pliers in there.
Yeah. Was he listening to music, though?
I can't remember.
Was there a poster on the ceiling of a Paradise Island?
No.
Really? Is there a calendar on the ceiling?
Is there anything on the ceiling?
A famous quote from somebody.
Is that what your dentist got?
Yeah.
A famous quote?
Yeah, there is a quote, but there's definitely a Paradise Island.
But is it really irrelevant to dentistry?
Oh, well, I'm sure it's irrelevant. You got to fit an aquarium as well?
Yeah, there's aquariums. I mean, all dentists have aquariums.
I love the fact that dentists have aquariums.
It sort of goes to the thing, it feels like you have to. It would be odd if you didn't. If you had a hamster in a cage or something, you'd go, why have you got this?
Oh, yeah, people would just question it,
wouldn't
they?
What are you doing to it? It feels like that anything warm-blooded, it feels like it's there for experiments.
So if you just had a chinchilla... And it was like 6 feet away from where you had him.
It's doing that thing where they just sort of orbit the cage in a really mad way.
Right, you just go, why? Why the chinchilla?
Oh, God. You walk in, there's a pen in the corner of the room and it's got a goat in it.
It's a goat.
What are you
doing?
He's
trying to jump all the time. Yeah, like that.
He's always chewing on the edge of his dentistry coat.
You go like this, you go, oh, hi. He's called Mr. Bradley, my dentist. He's a nice guy. As the chair's going back, how are you? You had a good year? Yeah. It's normally just before Christmas, but I missed this appointment, so I had to do it in January. Hang on a minute, what the freak's the goat doing in the corner? Where's your fish tank gone?
God, goat! Hang on, why is the window? You've got a stable door and there's a horse poking its head in. What's that with you?
It's quite a small room that the dentist typically operates in, and it's got a dangerous dog in it.
He's got a really bitey mastiff. Don't mind him.
And
don't
it's
mind Tommy.
Over a really expensive Swiss machine.
Oh yeah, it's always just. Oh, it's just had a whaz on the base unit of the sort of the chair system, which I bet costs loads.
Oh, hundreds of grand.
Yeah,
hundreds.
I'm just going to stop there. Don't worry, the anaesthetic's just going to stop thinking about. I'm just going to mop up. I'm afraid Billy's done another little whoopsie on the dentistry floor. I'm sorry, what? He's fine. The children love him. Obviously, I have to keep him away from them because of the biting. It's ironic, really, isn't it? Because he's using his teeth.
Billy, the bull mastiff.
Yeah, he's just...
I met a Rottweiler the other day, a farmer that finally let me look round his yard. Well, I've been liaising via via a dad of mine. Not a dad of mine.
Usually just the
kids.
One.
One of my friends.
Dad mate.
Dad mate. And he's a rep for John Deere.
Oh.
For farming equipment. Ooh. And one of his clients
is
this farmer.
Has he given you a baseball cap?
He has it before actually, but he said he told me this 2 years ago. There's a guy just really close to you with a farm, very secluded, and he's got loads of hoarded crap. mostly American. You'll love it.
What did crap?
And sure enough, after 2 years of, you know, trying to, you know, get your foot in the door, I got to walk around the farm. But he said, he said, the dog's massive. He said, he looks dangerous. He's, as long as you're with me, he's fine. It's called Merlin. Went around the corner, Merlin the Rottweiler was massive. Absolutely massive. Biggest Rottweiler I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
They're a handsome dog, aren't they? It had its tail.
It had an unclipped tail. It was a tail that was fully erect like that. And it stood...
It was like a little whip aerial tail there. They're quite sort of...
Yeah, it was. It had such a thick neck and a big head. It was all frontal power.
Yeah,
the back
end
was really small and...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of a car equipment. It's like a reverse dragster. You know, you've got your big flex and all your engine back there. And on the front, just like...
Or maybe like a Citroen DS, where the front is a lot wider than the back.
Yeah, it is
all
like
the powers
that.
At the front.
Yeah.
Now that they're not sort of the dangerous dog of choice, you don't see them around anymore, but it means when you do see them, you can appreciate they're actually really nice dogs. Got a bad rep. It's like Dobermans. Dobermans are... Yeah. Although the Doberman's snout is designed purely for maximum impact as it jabs it into your jaffers.
Really?
Well, we're not... You know what I mean, though? It's not... Nature seems to have gone, now, the Doberman, why does it need a pointy snout? I think it's so it can just stuff it straight into your underparts in a really aggressive way.
Well, Robert Llewellyn's dog, sadly it's died about a year or so ago, Joey, it was a greyhound.
Okay.
It was a greyhound bigger than a whippet.
Yeah.
It was a greyhound and it used to just park its head straight into your crotch. And just go in there and it would just pause. If you were stood there talking, it would just pause and just stand there. Wouldn't rustle around. It would
just park.
Just like putting a bicycle into a bike stand. It was just really odd. It
plugged itself in.
It did, and I was always a bit like, oh.
Is he doing that on purpose?
Well, yeah, it's right next to you. You know.
I've just thought of a really good animal that kids would like. It's a talking point. It's a bit weird, but not too weird because it's quirky.
Okay.
Duck.
A duck.
A dentistry duck.
With water or without?
No water, no, it just waddles around.
Oh.
There might be a pond out the back or a big bowl or something, but no, it just waddles around. And then maybe it's not even there to start with, and then you recline back.
Yeah.
And then there's just a... And what was that? What, sorry?
Oh, it's...
What was that? Oh, no, there's a duck in here. Yes, there is. We've got a new surgery duck. Would you like to meet him? He's making too much sense. Just hang on, I'll pick him up. Oh dear.
All over the immaculate instruments.
I'm so sorry.
On the mirrored pad.
I'm going to have to change my surgical gloves because I'm afraid the duck's just pooed on my hand. A little bit's gone on your trousers. Don't worry, I'll sort that out with the sucky thing. What are you doing? It's going in my mouth.
Would it be a duck or could it be a moorhen?
Because
I've always saw moorhens are like a renegade bird. They're not quite with the ducks.
Yeah,
not quite
true,
with
actually.
The geese.
Yeah.
And they can't fly.
Can they not?
I'm pretty sure moorhens can't fly.
Moorhens and what's the other one that's similar but different colour scheme?
Oh. It's not a shag, is it?
No, they're just they all live in the same pond. There's a few in the park up the way from us, and I can't remember.
Is it an orange bill or a...
Yeah, they've got sort of orangey red, and the moorhen's white, isn't it?
White or yellow.
But they're basically the same, it's just the same bird, but a different colour scheme. Like,
it's very small.
I can't remember now. Anyway, I'll tell you what I'd like is a grebe. They're an underrated.
Grebe?
A grebe, underrated British waterway bird. You don't see them very often, but they're quite cool.
There's a lot of water birds that I'm not familiar with. The puffin is apparently in decline. That's what I read recently.
I don't think I've ever seen a puffin. Not in real life.
I haven't seen a puffin in real life. No. No.
A dentistry puffin? That is a talking point.
It just sounds like an offensive saying. You dentistry puffin.
I think if you... The whole bird thing may not be... It may be the wrong direction for this dentistry animal thing, because if you're walking into a new dentist for the first time, and your first impression is... bird shit in this room. It seems to be
flying around, you can't get it.
Well, that's it. And then you're sort of there
And you've got to have your mouth wide open because he's busy. And then you realise that there's an owl sitting on the dentist's light right above you.
Like that?
Yeah.
Well, it's like peering over.
It may dive down and try and remove a bit of food from between your teeth. Or it might just plop in your mouth. And either way, it's like, this is off-putting. Much though, I do like an owl.
I started doing that impression of my old housemate at university as I was getting into the car this morning. I did it to myself whilst I was loading the gear in to come and see you. Honestly, absolute seminal moment.
This is your housemate who used to get so high in his room that he couldn't come downstairs and would have to ring the house.
This was the early days of mobile phones, as in affordable mobile phones for the common man. Mm. And he basically rinsed his entire student loan on buying a Nokia and a contract. And he phoned the landline and said, "Johnny, is that you?" I went, "Yeah." "What's up?" "Is that you, Harpal?"
"Yeah."
"Aren't you in your room?"
"Yeah."
And he goes, "But that's just there."
"Yeah, listen. Can you do us like a really sweet favour yet?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I mean, what are we talking about?" "Listen, all I want, yeah, go in the kitchen, yeah, get me a sweet glass of water, yeah, and bring it up and leave it outside my door."
And he said it with a really like hoarse voice, like,
"I'm telling you now, didn't get back till like 6, yeah, been in Hammersmith club night, yeah, the whole place was on fire, yeah, it was amazing. But like, I'm really feeling it now. I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna have a bit more of a sleep, and then I'm gonna come down and maybe have like potato waffle or something."
What time was it?
What time? Oh, it was like Sunday at about 4 p.m. it was really late. I mean, we were students. I get it. Oh, but I mean, I didn't even know he was in. I thought he was still out.
Rang the landline in the house that he's in.
Well, because the thing is normally we would know he was in because we would hear Mickey Finn. Mickey Finn would just be played, and you just hear that muffle because you know it's like two rooms away. "Come on!" We go, "Oh yeah, he's in. He's upstairs." All we'd see is abandoned Rockport trainers by the front door, which you always make a point of telling me how much they were. "See those, yeah? £120 they were, yeah." They go, "Guys, I'm going out tonight, yeah? I'm going back out to Bagley's and getting picked up by Taz. So if I'm in my shower, yeah, and the door goes, that'll be Taz. Taz has got his BM convertible outside, yeah? 323, fucking the shit, yeah? He's going to pull up, we're going to go to Bagley's in the BM. And was it? It was Taz. Yeah, Taz had the BM. And it was an E36 convertible. And it would have been quite new, thinking about it.
Yeah.
This was 1997.
Yeah, well...
Wasn't it?
It would have been contemporary.
Yeah, and he was a student.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what? In a turquoise E36, pretty much new convertible? Yeah. What's Taz doing then with his...
Mm.
Taz was a good lad, though. He used to sometimes sleep on the sofa. And when he came home and he was drunk, everything he'd say everything at three times the speed. It would be brilliant.
Was this the guy whose cousin had a Prelude?
Yes, 2.2. And he'd love... That was his benchmark for performance cars. It would be the 2.2 Prelude.
Prelude.
And he'd love it. He'd sometimes call it the Lude. Yeah, it was great. I got my mate, yeah, he's got the Prelude, got the 100 Prelude 2.2, yeah, the fucking thing flies, yeah, like VTEC goes flying, yeah, like nothing can beat it. Nothing can beat it, yeah.
Nothing.
We all get in it, yeah, and I'm stoned and I'm fucked, and the thing's flying, yeah, never seen a rev counter do what it did. It was just, he was so good. Where was he from? Coventry. I go back to Coventry at the weekend and that. Like, I've got to get some more money. My phone is like £100 this month. This phone was like £100 for the phone. What have you been doing? You'll be phoning people from your room.
Mind you.
Not pissing around, Johnny. I got £120 in a Rockport, yeah.
He had some Stone Island jacket or something. 150 quid jacket, yeah? I'm not fucking about, yeah? I'm like, why don't you get a part-time job? You go, fuck that shit. I'm not doing that. Has anybody ever listened to the U2 album that appeared mysteriously on their iPhone a couple of years back?
Oh.
Has anybody... Because it came up on my shuffle.
I've forgotten about that.
Well, I haven't ever listened to it. And it came up yesterday when I was driving home and I'd run out of things to listen to. And I put it on shuffle and I don't have much music on my phone.
What was it called?
Something of Songs of Innocence.
The Bunghole or something.
Yeah. Songs.
Yeah, I think I might have started to listen to it because I don't, you know, I quite like U2. But then I was like, on a point of principle, it was almost like, don't tell me what I'm going to have on my phone.
Well, this is the thing. I think this it's actually quite a good album, it seems. But
really?
Because it was just given away.
Yeah, I don't think became worthless. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever listened to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it put people's noses out of joint.
And do you know what I'm going to do?
You're going to make it your new favourite album just to be contrary. You're going to be the only album on your phone from now on.
I'm going to break into Bono's house when he's on tour.
And put things in his
house. And I'm going to buy all different furniture. And I'm going
to
paint
the walls. Can't replace his furniture. That's the you just have to add extra furniture that he doesn't want.
Okay, so I'm not going to replace anything. I'm going to add.
Really horrible armchair. It might not be a horrible armchair. It might be a nice armchair, but Bono will never find out because he'll refuse to sit in it because it's like, I didn't buy this armchair.
But also,
it's very intrusive that you put this armchair.
That's
in
the thing.
House.
He'll be confused at the fact that someone's gone in there, seamlessly put it in there, no sign of
extra
intrusion.
Pictures on his walls.
Yeah,
extra pictures of your family alongside his family.
Oh yeah, I'm going to put a picture of my kids and my family on Bono's wall.
Just another car on his drive, but it's not a shit car. It might be a good car.
You're just going to give him a car.
Just like it's like a new Fiesta where you couldn't go, well, that's a terrible car. You go, that's a perfectly serviceable car. Now, I'll never find out because I'm not driving it because I didn't want it and you gave it to me anyway.
That's a really good idea.
But then, because wasn't it very hard to delete that U2 album? Possibly impossible to delete it from your music library.
I don't know if you can.
So you take away the keys to the Fiesta, so the Fiesta is just on Bono's driveway forever.
What, like going mouldy? It's never been driven.
Never been driven. No, it's brand new. In fact, you sneak around sometimes and you clean it and make sure the tyres have got air in and stuff like that.
Just like that U2 album, which most people haven't listened to yet, because they've forgotten it's even there. Mm. Again, the Fiesta. It's there. Mm. It's in vision, but nobody really takes any notes of it.
And then one day, Bono...
Oh, it's a really good idea.
...figures out the keys are actually on the top of one of the front wheels. And he goes for a drive in it and goes, oh.
It's all right.
It's quite a good car.
I still don't know who gave it to me. Somebody gave me a free Fiesta 12 years ago.
I mean, it's an appealing prank, but I don't think it's 50 grand's worth of prank.
It's unlocked, and what he does, you know when you can specify when you have stuff delivered where they leave it, if you're not there? Just leave it in Bono's Fiesta, and it just becomes a receptacle for DPD and UPS deliveries.
Is this like a mate of mine who has an old Chrysler Voyager they don't really use,
and it became a shed?
No, he just kept using it to store balloons in before children's parties.
Seriously?
Well, his children, he's got three kids, but yeah, you know, sort of that period when kids really want helium balloons.
Oh, I hate helium balloons.
And he'd go and buy them, and it's like, well, they're just gonna get in the way slash spoil a surprise in the house, so I'll just stick them in the Voyager. But he wouldn't go to get them in the Voyager because I think it'd stop working.
So it was just a dormant
vehicle. It was a balloon storage unit on his driveway.
Well, I remember getting locked out of my house when I was still living at home and I was at school. Came back from school in a massive rainstorm and realised I'd forgotten to take the house key. My parents were at work. My brother was somewhere else. Mobile phones weren't really the thing that school kids had. And I didn't know what to do. But my brother had left an old Hillman Minx on the drive that he bought for 75 quid, I remember it. Bought it off an exceptionally fat, jolly man for 75 quid. And the engine ran, but it was rotten, so we were going to take the engine out and put it in his other Hillman Minx. But he left it open. So I got in this Hillman Minx, wet through, because I'd run back from the bus stop at school. Got pissed on.
couldn't get in my own house, so I sat in a semi-derelict Hilma Minks and fell asleep. I fell completely asleep to the point where my parents, both my parents came home from work, walked past the car on the drive and didn't see me in there. I think it was all misted up.
What if, unbeknownst to you, your brother had decided it was more hassle than it was, and a bloke arrived with a hi-ab on a truck and took the minx away and crushed it?
I woke up for it to be like pitch dark at night. My parents were in, worried about me, and I think my brother was home. And it was like, how long have I been asleep for? Just in a rotten old Hilma Minx on my own drive.
I'm going to break into Bono's house. Just keep putting extra pairs of trousers in his wardrobe. Where do these come from? These aren't... No. It's not the kind of thing that I would wear. Where are these coming from? I took them to the charity shop and now they're back again. Why is this happening? I'm sorry, Bono. You can't delete those trousers. They're my trousers, Bono's, but you're having them.
Bono's sock drawer. Just make it really, really crazy and varied.
Yeah, lots of extra socks. Wall aggravates my skin. I can't wear these. Well, you've got them anyway. You know Weezer, the band Weezer, have done that covers album, which is quite enjoyable in its own way.
But no, I didn't know that.
They've done a covers album. One of the things that they've covered is Sweet Dreams, Brackets Are Made of This by the Eurythmics.
Oh, yeah.
And even though the title of the song, which I know full well, is Sweet Dreams Are Made of This... Mm-hmm. Because of the way that Annie Lennox sings it, I've always thought it goes, Sweet Dreams Are Made of These. Mm-hmm. And then I've realised she's fudging the pronunciation of this to make it rhyme with disagree. And actually, that's a load of old arse. So she's going, Sweet dreams are made of these, who am I to disagree? And then it's... I wonder if she tried it the other way around. She went, Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, Dave. It doesn't work. No, it's not working. I'm going to do it a different way. Hang on, try this. Sweet dreams are made of these. How was that? Well, it sounds a bit bollocks, Annie. It sounds like saying
Stop
these.
Stop it, I've got indigestion.
It's just weird. And it's like, how long has that song's been out for 30 plus years? And I've never realised, despite it being written down, it's this. Sweet dreams are made of these. Annie, do you want to come over? Oh, yes, that'd be great. We can talk about these and that. Why are you saying it like that?
No reason.
Are you just saying it like that so you don't look like an idiot because you said it like that in that song 30-odd years ago? No. Are you taking the peas, sir, to me?
How many of your stories involve people removing their trousers? Because last night you told me about that bloke who drank an entire bottle of spiced rum and shat himself. No, sorry. I'm doing a disservice. Is this correct? Because we had a couple of beers, but that he split his white linen trousers.
He was trying to do the splits and other dance moves.
Having drunk a bottle of spiced rum.
He bought a Captain Morgan spiced in a club, so a whole bottle in a club.
I didn't ask you. Which town was this in? Well, it really matters, but I'm trying to get...
You'd never guess in a month of Sundays.
Utoxeter. I don't know why that would be a place to do that. There's no place.
I wasn't there, so I believe it was Lyme Regis.
Okay.
It's quite a small place, Lyme Regis, right? Been there?
I don't think I've ever been.
I've been numerous times, including Cub Camp.
So he bought, in a nightclub...
A small town nightclub.
Small town nightclub. Mm-hmm. The most violent of all the nightclubs. He bought a bottle of Captain Morgan spiced rum, boshed the lot.
Then he was wearing white linen trousers. He was starting to do some moves on the dance floor. Realised he was getting a bit wobbly. Did the jump splits on the dance floor and split the linen trousers from front to back. His genitals were apparently hanging out because it was loose linen, and he was just walking around the club just windmilling himself.
But now wearing... So his trousers have become effectively two separate garments. Leg sleeves. pair of white linen leg sleeves. And it's this. So he's polished off the rum by now. This right? What are you in?
However, the problem
the
is, you know, like
a bit of a catastrophic effect on his guts.
The problem is if you've ever drunk quite a lot of spirits in a very short space of time, it's like a 20-minute delay before it hits you like an anvil.
Yes.
And he had that moment and realised he had to go to the toilet. And as you know, nightclub toilets are brutal places for a sit down. And he went in there and he needed a sit down. He had explosive diarrhoea and then realised there was no loo paper at all. Hadn't even checked before he started. Massive. Well, I mean, you avoid it in a club at all costs, but anyway. So he just decided, well, my trousers are in tatters anyway. So he took his white linen trousers off and used it as toilet paper. He used it as toilet paper and then he couldn't flush his trousers on the toilet because it would blow up the toilet. So he just stuffed around the back of the cistern and then ran out of the club and then phoned his girlfriend. His then girlfriend and go, I'm not coming back in the club. I'm outside and I've got no trousers on. He just ran out. He just ran out with his pants on.
I'm not going back in because I've got no trousers. But you did have trousers on. When I last saw you, admittedly, they split dramatically, but you did have trousers on. Where are your trousers?
They weren't
gone?
Covering well, your cock and balls, but...
Let me talk to you about the fate of my trousers.
White linen trousers as well. Fucking hell.
Oh, man.
Now, of late, I've noticed Captain Morgan have been doing some quite, you know, quite different TV ads and online ads.
Do any of them say, "Arr, get this down you next, me hearties. You shall split the pantaloons and then shat thyself and use them to clean up. Arr."